All right,
Go
guys,
ahead.
we're back. It's been a little while. We're one guy short here today, but we do have a special guest. If you looked at the title, we got Matt with us. He is the owner of Blue Collar King. He's founded a couple different companies. He's built them, he's sold them. He's going to tell us a little bit about them. Obviously, we've got Tom with us. He's here to throw his sign up. Hopefully, that's not lost. Matt, if you don't know, like I said, we'll make this super easy and conversational. But if you don't know anything about Tom, he's got a sign that says people buy payments, so he may throw that at the screen at any point in time. But Matt, if you want to start us out here pretty easy, give us kind of an overview of, what got you in the space, how it started. I know a little bit just from me and you chatting, but kind of light us up a little bit and get us on track, kind of how you got where you are, and we'll go get a little bit deeper questions after that.
Yeah, so thanks for having me, guys. So, I got into HVAC in 1997. I started off as a commercial and industrial technician. I came out of a local 250 in downtown Los Angeles and started off working in hospitals and hotels and a little bit of, industrial refrigeration and stuff like that. And worked my way up to service manager in about 5 or 6 years. And then the company I was working for wasn't doing so hot. They had a lot of construction and things got a little bit shaky. And I ended up kind of going off on my own in June of 2003. And I started off, although I was a commercial and industrial technician, I started off in the residential space. Because at the time when I went off on my own, I was actually doing a resi side job. And then I kind of went off on my own. I was 28 years old at the time. And, I was like, whatever, we'll just give this a whirl. Probably like how everyone kind of starts their company, right? Let's
Mission.
just go figure it out. Yeah, so that's what I did. And I spent 10 or 12 years trying to figure it out. I was trying to build a business, do a residential, and then I started getting into commercial and then I got into construction. But that's kind of the story. I started a second company in 2014 with a few other partners. Started that off the backbone of my core company, Evolution Mechanical, that I actually still own and run that today. I actually don't run it. I have a team that runs it. But I own 100% of Evolution. I don't have any PE or partners. And that other company that I was a partnership in that we started, we built that up. I exited that business and started Blue Collar King in 2023 to help business owners, literally scale and get their life back. As we all know, there's no shortage of coaches and training companies and
No
systems and
kidding.
information and this and that. But I really wanted to build and create something different and special that actually worked, and it worked quickly and was effective. I
Yeah.
just recently picked up a residential HVAC company in Phoenix, Arizona. So yeah, that's a little bit about what I do and my background.
Sweet. So to take a to kind of go back to the beginning, a couple things you said that I just want to start with. One, I don't think you mentioned what initially pulled you into the HVAC space in the first place, like right off the bat, even just working in the field. Why that side?
Yeah, great question. So at the time, I was about 22, 23 years old, and I had dropped out of high school when I was 17, ran away from home, and I spent 5 years doing what rebellious teenagers do. And my parents eventually came and, they're like, okay, it's been 5 years. I had been living the wild life, let me tell you, like super crazy, like everything you can imagine, jail, the whole nine yards. And my mom and dad finally came and got me and said, hey, like you're literally burning it to the ground. And I pretty much was. So I went home for a bit and they had introduced me to the owner of the company that I started with, Certified Air Technologies, Bruce Lombatis, bless his heart, was a family friend. And they had lined all of this up when they came to talk to me and they said, hey, you can come back home for a little while, just to get your head on straight. And we got something we want to talk to you about. So we went and met with Bruce, told me about air conditioning. I didn't know anything about it. And then they made me a deal like, hey, we'll give you a job, but you're gonna have to stop partying and stay at home for a while. And you got to get your head on straight and go to school. So I went to Cypress College, full-time Monday, Tuesday for 2 years. And that was part of the deal. Like I got to go to school, I got to stay at home, I got to follow my parents' rules, and I got to follow Bruce's rules too, obviously, right? So I did that. I went through the training program at Cypress College, which was absolutely amazing. And I fell in love with HVAC. And guys, the reason I fell in love with HVAC is because I loved working on cars. I love doing electrical. Like I had a job doing car stereo systems and car alarms. So I knew the wiring and electronic side of things. Love that. But I also had this mechanical background because my dad was a mechanic and I was a jet ski mechanic and an automobile mechanic too in my younger years. So when I got into HVAC, I was like, whoa, this is cool. I can be in a work truck. I can go do my own thing. I can do wiring, electrical, mechanical stuff. Then I got to learn about brazing and soldering, and I fell in love. Like I was like, God made me for HVAC. And I just went all in. After I finished the 2-year program at Cypress, I did the apprenticeship program at Local 250, and the rest is history. I'm an avid learner. I just love learning, and I just immerse myself, and that's how I got to where I am, you know, in a short, you know, 27, 28 years, here I am.
That's really cool. It's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting that like the initial job, right, was a combination of your folks and, you know, this family friend, like, you know, hey, we got to straighten this kid out. Let's give him an opportunity. And you were smart enough to listen and take it. But it wasn't even like, oh, like I'm following this passion. You found like the passion for the work in the job as you did it.
Right.
Which is sweet. And we'll get into this in a little bit, but it's interesting. It's really interesting. It's very rare. And I know, you know, this maybe more than I do, but the rare that you see a guy that loves turning the wrenches, loves doing the stuff, that's able to grow, sell, scale, train. Most people can't get past that initial, you know, initial phase of just loving the work. Right. And they're okay with that. And obviously you had some more fire than most. So what do you think was the biggest thing that took you from that point in time where you're like, okay, working in the field to, okay, I might, you know, I do want to, obviously you mentioned you're kind of went off on a side job and then you're like, well, I'm going to keep, was it the idea of the pay, the more money, or was it the idea of like building something? I mean, who knows? Did you have the foresight to think that you were going to build something like you have? Or what kind of started that, lit that fire and started the transition from, okay, there's a lot of techs making a lot of good money and I could be really comfortable here to, okay, I'm going to switch and I think I could really build something here.
Yep. Yeah. Great question. So for me, things were a little shaky at the company I was working at and I just saw an opportunity. And when I saw that opportunity, you know, I love risk, and that's helped me in my entrepreneurial journey. But it's really, really hurt me as well too. I had to learn how to manage that because I love like hot rods. I love going 130 miles an hour on the water in a little tiny boat. I love things scary, scary, scary fast. So for me, I see risk. I'm the kind of guy that if there's a cliff, like jump off. We'll build wings on the way down. So I think for me, it wasn't so much about the money. It was more about like, ooh, that looks scary and maybe a little bit crazy and chaotic. Let's go that way.
Let's do it.
That's what Matt Murray liked for a long time.
did you have a, you know, it sounds like to me you were talking about that you like turning wrenches and things like that. Part of what I think Colton was asking, was that a transition to go from not wearing the tool belt anymore and then to going inside to manage the people that are wearing the tool belts?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Do you think that was just your personality that allowed you to do that and like lit that fire? I mean, cause that very well could be, right. Mm-hmm. Cause if I were to look at myself, and I'm sure Tom would feel the same. It's just feel like it's kind of just the way we're built. Like, okay, I want to do more. Like I see the opportunity, I could do more. Or was there a specific time that was like, obviously you mentioned you saw an opportunity because the company you were working with was a little hit or miss.
Right.
But was there, because that's a hell of a lot of responsibility from a guy going, you know, here to, I'm really good at this job, I really enjoy it, to, okay, I want to manage more. Did you know what you were getting into?
No. Like starting the business, I had no clue. And I think this is where business owners really get themselves in trouble, right? Because you're like, oh, I know how to fix air conditioners. Surely I know how hard can it be to run a business? How hard can it be to learn like hiring, recruiting, training, leadership, management, systems, operations, finance, metrics, accounting? You know, I could go on with 1,000 more things and then you start your business and you just fix stuff. And then you go, okay, now I need to hire an employee. How do I do that? Now I need to buy trucks. Now I need to get vendors, credit lines, you know, it goes on and on and on.
All the things you didn't know about.
Oh my gosh. And there's so much. And that's why it took me, like I spent the first 10, 12 years of my entrepreneurial journey literally on the hamster wheel, like full on chaos.
What do you think are some of the, like, if you were to think back and look in your mind, some of the earliest roadblocks that you hit, and you're like, you know, that punched me in the face pretty damn good. Yep. What were those things? Are there a few that stick out to you?
Yes. I had never in my life worked inside of an office. So I had no idea what just simple office etiquette looked like. And I was raised by a hardcore blue collar dad, and I started in the union. So I thought screaming and yelling and cuss words was leadership and management. That was my management playbook. So that didn't get me very far. Like,
you're telling me that not everybody jammed with that or what?
No, they don't. Like, I don't know if there's like an award for the highest turnover of a company. Like, if there's but if there is, I'm pretty sure I could win that. Like, I turned for the first like 10, 12 years, I turned over hundreds of people. But you know what? I got darn good at recruiting.
Yeah.
So you honed that skill anyway. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. So I mastered recruiting. And then I'm like, well, cool. If I could get some of these people to stick and stay here, I might be onto something. So then I started to learn about leadership and emotional intelligence and communication and, you know, some of the white collar tools and tactics of building a business. And that was kind of the segue into my journey where I'm like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I tell people this, you know, when they come to talk to me about working with as a blue collar king, I tell them like, check it out. You're the only way to break through and to get into the zone of success. It's one key word. It's called humble. And here's what's going to happen. You can either actively select to become humble with your own free will, and you can get some help from other people that have been there, done that, and you can start moving up the mountain very quickly. Or you can do what good old Matt Murray did for 12 years with your pride and your ego and your technician trial and error mindset, and you can try to figure it out. But here's what's going to happen, I promise you. Eventually, you're going to get humble. Either the universe and the system's going to humble you, and that's going to be very, very painful. Or you can just actively choose to be humble now and get some help.
That's a great point. I was going to ask that because that timeline you gave us, like, that was, you said 2003. And I don't remember if that's when you kind of broke off on your own and then you jumped to 2013.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's a stretch.
Yeah. It was 10 or 12 years of like just a time warp of hamster wheel chaos of just like survival mode, you know, because when you're, and I know there's hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners that can relate to this, because when you're just living in survival, just fighting for your life, like time just flies by and you look back and go, where did 5 years go? Where did 100%. This decade go? It's gone.
Yes. Well,
I deal with a lot of contractors, and to your point, that they're really good at the wrench turning, the business end of fixing, repairing, replacing, they're the best. And the owners usually, the technician with the checkbook in his back pocket, right, is that how I related to. And to your point, getting going from that wrench turner repair guy is a very hard struggle for these guys. And especially, and that's why we literally created IHCS Finances to say, look, you're the expert at the wrench turning and the fixing, the repairing, the replacing. Let us be your finance guy, right?
For sure. Love it.
That's a segment that you need
people
buy payments. But we see so many of them that really struggle. Like when we get top line revenue from a dealer, it's like, okay, the last 5 year top line revenue, you're seeing them maybe up and, you know, plateau, a little high, little low, whatever like that. It's like, you know, they need somebody like you that's been down that path to say, listen, let me show you how to get from the wrench turner to the business owner that then you hire the wrench turners and you're managing the wrench turners as opposed to being one. And 100%. I love your story. It's awesome because I see it every day.
Correct.
And yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to see people.
I'd like to send you some business of, you know, we can talk about that offline, but
for sure.
I know there's people need that. They can't make the transition.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's a beast of a transition to make. And the problem is when you're trying to figure it out yourself, you're up against two big enemies. You're up against time and money. Okay. And trial and error is burning a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money that we don't have, because all the money, as you're growing a business, all the money you're making, you have to put right back into the business to feed the growth, to buy the trucks, the inventory, the assets, the employees, the people, the callbacks, the this, the that. And then you also have to have enough money to try to figure it out. And that, unfortunately, if you look at the statistics, is why 98 to 99% of companies never make it to eight figures. And like 50 to 70% of them like die on the climb. They either close the doors, they fail, or they go bankrupt, because it's a beast of a challenge to try and figure it out on your own without any tools, tactics, training, support, guidance. And the problem is, and Michael Gerber, I don't know if you guys have heard of Michael Gerber or the book, The E-Myth, but he wrote about this in the late 70s or early 80s. And let me, you guys don't have to read the book. I'll make it real simple, because, we blue collar people don't like reading books anyway. So here you go. I'll give you the whole book in 60 seconds. Here's what the E-Myth is. And this is a fact. The entrepreneurial myth is that technical people believe that because they were good technicians, that they'll just automatically be good business owners. That's the entrepreneurial myth, and it couldn't be more spot on. We try to take our technician mindset, which is I'll fix it, I'll figure it out with the cheapest amount of investment in training and development I can. And that subconscious programming, you carry that into entrepreneurship. And a trial and error mindset as a technician is gorgeous. A trial and error mindset as an entrepreneur is suicidal.
Painful. Absolutely. So, I mean, on that note, Matt, so let's talk about Blue Collar King, right? So where did the motivation come from? Because, I mean, that we're talking about a lot of big undertakings already in the 17 minutes we've been chatting, but that is a whole nother realm of, how do I help people do the same thing? Because now you're not battling with your own mind, you're battling with theirs as well. Yep. And so where does that motivation come from to start this coaching process with other business owners? How does that evolve?
Yeah, great question. So in about 22 or so, evolution's climbing. And by then I'm 8-9 years into my personal development journey. I spent a lot of money getting coaches and with consultants and mentors and advisors and masterminds. And I went all in. As I told you guys earlier, I'm an avid learner, and that's what made me a really good technician, because I would just read. So once I realized that I could actually improve as a human, improve my mindset, learn about business psychology, leadership, emotional intelligence. And once I started to learn about business systems and scaling tools and tactics and KPIs and operating systems and stuff like that, I went all in. I spent over $2 million on my personal development, my education, and my mentorship. And eventually, I clunked everything together, and I eventually figured it out, if you will, in a short 15, 18 years. And I got evolution to a place. Yeah. Where I owned it, it no longer owned me. Yeah. And I got it to a place where I built out an entire executive team, a management team, leadership infrastructure. And I now coach that company. I don't actually work there. I'm not on the org chart. Correct. And I practice with my mentor coaching and consulting my own organization for several years with the intention, knowing, because I got a taste of it. And my mentor, Nikki, he's, middle, late 70s. He kind of took me under his wing as his protege. And he said, I believe you have a gift. You're very visionary and you're very innovative. And I believe that I could teach you a lot of what I've been teaching you. And I think there's a possibility that one day you would go out and you would help other humans get to where they want to go quicker, faster, learning what you've learned and what we've done here together. And that at first it didn't resonate with me. Like, I'm going to be a consultant, a mentor, a coach. I'm like, nah, I don't think so. But he planted that seed, and then he watered it for another year or two. And then eventually, God put on my heart to go out and help people.
That's so
the
awesome.
Blue Collar King was born, and that's what I'm doing now.
That's phenomenal.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love building businesses. Like I said, I still have two businesses, but yeah, by far I love being in the room right here. Like, this is the Blue Collar King Training Center in Huntington Beach. Yep. We have live events here. Like, I love doing our coaching calls. I love our in-person events. Like, you probably tell right now, like, I get super passionate about helping people.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out how the best way to say it, but bottom line is that you have an interesting path, right? You started here and you moved along to that journey.
Yeah.
You worked hard at it to get to go through that transition.
Yeah, my mom and my wife agree with the word interesting. They use the same verbiage.
Well, the question that I have for you is being that you're there to help make that transition for these guys. And I've dealt with an awful lot of business owners in the HVAC space and roofing and all that. How do you convince them that they need you? Because they think that they, you know, what's your top line revenue? What's your growth overall? How's your KPIs? What the hell's KPI? How's your EBITDA? That's not a part on an air conditioner or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you convince them? Do you have some kind of business model that you get some upside on the growth that you bring to them? Or the question is, how do you convince a guy that he needs help when he doesn't think he needs you?
Yeah. Great question. Well, first, I don't convince anybody. So I'm not in the job of convincing people, but I'm not in the business of that. But what I am in the business of doing is asking people important questions about where they've been and where they want to go. And then what I do is I kind of hook up my digital gauges to their brain and their mindset and their business. And I show them some things that they've never seen before. I show them things that they know they need. And then I show them things that they don't know that they don't know. And I show them a possibility of a new future. And then it's up to them to decide if they're ready to pay for, and you know, ready to make an investment, if you will, correct, in creating a different life. The business owner, like I said, the key word is humble. And if they're close to humble, I can likely get them to fully become humble, to accept the fact that they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they're not ready and they need to go beat their face against the universe for another year or two. Eventually they'll call me. Hopefully they don't do that. And they're like, hey, you know what? Okay. Enough is enough.
Yeah,
like, we blue collar people. I'm not going to lie. We got big egos. We're very, very proud of ourselves and we want to figure it out. And, you know, but it's not my job to convince people. So I love that question. I just do the best darn job I can to try to show them that, A, I am just like you. I'm cut from the same cloth. I'm not one of these gurus trying to ram you into hotel ballrooms and steal your money and then try to leverage you to take equity later from you when you're in a bad position. I'm a blue collar dude just like you. Unfortunately, it took me, you know, 2 decades to figure out how to play the game. Hopefully you would just copy and paste some of what I've learned in 2 decades and not do it the Matt Murray way, the hard way. You know, that's all I do. And then it's up to them to decide if they want to, you know, like join what we call the Blue Collar King tribe or not.
My father tried to give me advice when I was 15, 16, 17, whatever like that. And I'm like, he rode to school on a horse, for Christ's sake. What does he know? But what was amazing is every year that I got older, he seemed to get a little smarter.
Yep.
And now as an adult, a family, and then having kids, I went back and apologized. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't listen to you more. Yep. I wish I had listened to you more. I would be in a different spot right now. But that's kind of where you're at, is like convincing that guy to like take advantage of all the time, energy, and money that I've spent.
Right.
I figured out what to do the wrong way, the right way, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Let me help you take advantage of all that. I think it's awesome. There's such a need out there for what you do.
Right. For sure. And here's the funny thing about it too, that I try to remind HVAC or plumbing, electrical, whatever, just blue collar business owners. Like, look, you exist as a professional services provider. You want your client or the opportunity to pay a good price and pay a good dollar for a job well done for some technical information that you know. Now, don't you think it would make sense if you adapted or embraced that same type of a mindset with regards to the things that you don't know that you don't know, which means you need to get some help. But I get it. I was that hard-headed guy too. But when I started to get that hockey stick growth, it was when I was able to put my pride aside and say, you know what? I'm okay saying this right here. I don't know, but I'm going to find somebody that does. And if I need marketing, I'm not gonna figure out marketing. I'm gonna call Colton, and Colton will figure out the marketing for me. And if I need to figure out money and consumer finance and all that stuff, I'm calling Thomas because I don't care. It's not my job to be the big egotistical guy that has the answers to everything. As an executive, as a business owner, it's my job to connect the right people together to solve problems and to deliver what I call wow service to the clients and wow service to the employees, the end. Yeah, and once I adapted that mindset, that's when things got really nice for me in my life.
Yeah, you started serving, right?
Exactly. Like,
you started serving. So Matt, you've developed something, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you've developed something called the RISE method, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, sir.
What does that stand for, and how has that helped, you know, business owners transition their business and transform their business?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, scaling people and scaling humans, there's a lot of tools in the toolbox. And I've kind of zoomed this thing way out just to make a simple method for people to understand. And as you know, Blue Collar King, we use kind of a kingdom theme. And if you want to become an executive or a successful business owner, what we call that is you need to become a king and you need to rise up. You need to rise up from who you are today, and it's who you need to become. And what the RISE method is, the R first starts with reclaiming your focus and reclaiming your time. Reclaiming what you should be focusing on as a business owner, shifting from having your hands on the tools and shifting to learning more about leadership and time management and training and coaching within with the framework of your organization. And then the I, think internal, think identity, think leadership and personal development. Okay. And then the S is all the structure and the systems. A lot of the programs out there don't work because they're not addressing anything with the limiting beliefs, the identity, the internal thermostat, all of these types of internal things that are limiting people from the ability to produce at a higher level. So we are doing a lot in our program with the internal stuff, the leadership development stuff. So reclaiming focus and time, working on the identity and the internal tools, not only for the business owner, leadership development for the business owner, but then creating leadership training and development plans for the people within the organization. Yeah. And then again, the S is all the systems, the structure, right? Think external on the S. And then what are the simple results of that? The R plus the I plus the S equals E. And what we're expecting with the E is expansion of time, health, wealth, and purpose. So that's the very simple, like, four-step approach. And then there's lots of different tools and stuff in the toolbox to produce those outcomes. We don't sell stuff. We produce future. I like to say, if I sell anything, I sell itineraries for business owners. So you're gonna make an investment for a ticket, and you're gonna know where you're going. We don't sell training or coaching or teaching or sales or marketing or this or that. I take people to a beneficial destination.
Correct. No, that makes complete sense. And you help people at all different stages. You know, from how do you approach, let's say, someone from the start, you know, just broke off the company that they've been working with for 3 years. They want to start their own thing versus somebody who's already, you know, already been in business for a couple of years and they're looking to scale, or maybe even further down the road, they're looking to sell.
Yep.
How do you approach those two different avatars?
Great question. Yeah. So we have three very customized systems that are designed and built for exactly where business owners are at on their journey. We have a program that's built specifically for guys that are under a million, whether you're literally just started or you're doing 200, 500K a year. But that Foundations Forge program is designed to just take you right to like a million plus per year. And then after that, guys that are doing a million and a half or so, kind of in that one and a half to $5 million pocket, we have our Warrior Alliance program. And that's built for guys that are in that zone there. Once you transition past that, past 6 million, then you go into our King's Boardroom program. And I got guys that are 6, 8 million and guys in there that are all the way up to like 30 million So I built the system, the training, the teaching, the coaching, the models, everything to meet people exactly where they are on their journey. And that's what works so well too, is because we have in the masterminds, because it's very much in-person work. It's not just all over Zoom. We're having productive conversations because people that are on at the same similar place in their journey, we're troubleshooting, we're sharing wins from people that are kind of at that same size business where they're scaling, right? And that's obviously what a $20 million company is different than what a guy doing $500,000 a year needs. So everything's custom built to the entrepreneur, their company, culture, geography, et cetera.
Yeah, that's awesome. And another thing going on a limb, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in a lot of your stuff as well, you know, you're talking to all these other, these different companies in these different stages, and you talk a lot about borrowing intellect, right? Yep. What does that mean? What does that mean for that entrepreneur? What does that mean for that business owner? How do they utilize this? Why is that valuable? What do you mean when you say that?
Yeah. So great question. Let me put it to you this way. I don't know if I'm a really smart dude or not. It doesn't really matter because I've been doing this for 27 years. You could be really dumb. And in 27 years, you know, you're going to learn a trick or two. It would be very smart if you're a business owner to ask a question. If what I'm about to do, my idea is a good idea or not, should I do that? And somebody that has 27 years of experience in the octagon is going to tell you very quickly, yeah, that's okay, go ahead and proceed, but also do this. Or they're going to say, heck no, do not do that. And then what the entrepreneur is going to say, and I know this because I do this now for a living, is, well, why is it not a good idea? Because what happens is our idea, we think because it's our idea, it's a good idea. And then I have to explain to them, like, look, it's not about being right. It's about having the right solution. So you can either be right or you can grow. Which one would you like to do? And they get confused. They're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, so you can either be right, which means you can keep believing that the stories that come to your mind are the right way to go, or I'm telling you you're wrong. You can listen to me and go with option B, which is actually the right way. Which would you like to do? And most of them do it, follow the lead, or follow the lead of the other guys that have been there. But some of them don't, and they'll come back, you know, and we'll hear about it at the event or the Zoom call or whatever. They're like, I totally should have listened to you guys.
A nickel for every time you heard that, and you'd be a rich guy.
That's exactly.
I already screwed that up 5 times. I told you, don't do that. You don't have to spend 6 months of your time, energy, money. You could have just listened to me, and in 5 minutes, you could have been over it and been moving up the mountain.
Correct. And it's funny hearing you speak, Matt. You can tell that you talk to these guys, these blue collar guys on a daily basis, the way that you frame things, like that's a perfect example of the way you said that. You're like, I don't know if I'm a smart guy. I sure as hell don't think I am. But after you've done this for 20 something years, you're going to find a few things out, right? With the money I've spent, the time I've allocated. And it's so funny because, you know, like you said, blue collar, a lot of ego, want to figure it out. Screw you. I don't need you. Like, I'll figure it out myself. Phrasing it in a way that's like, dude, I don't have to be the expert. I've just done this 10 times longer than you have. Yeah. And I clearly have a result. So you can listen and do it or not. If you don't, go beat your face against the wall and come back in a year and a half.
And I'll be right here waiting for you with the same smile on my face. I'll be like, okay, now we're humble. Now we're ready to build a business. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take letting go of that pride. Yep.
I love that.
How many clients did you get that, okay, I'm ready to sign up with you, Matt. And then they sign up. And then they fight you tooth and nail, like, okay, here's what you should do. It's like, nah, I don't like that. I don't like that idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, why are you paying me to help you if you're not going to listen? That comes into the humble part, right?
100%. So I've actually let a few clients go. You know, I'm pretty good on the front end of seeing what their what I call their coachability is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I start kind of poking in and testing the walls to see how they're going to respond to my leadership, how they're going to respond to letting go of their need to be right, being open to new perspectives. So when people are not ready, I do try to do the best I can to let them know that I don't think it's a good fit for us right now. I would love to work with you in the future. I'll give them some homework, give them a book to read or some playbooks or tools or tactics. and then say, hey, go do this work, and then maybe let's try to have another talk in a few months. With that said, yeah, there's some tough conversations that happen in a real coaching environment, because what coaching really is, and the industry's got the words confused. Everyone thinks that sitting in the big guru event or sitting on a Zoom training is coaching. That's not. You're just listening. Maybe you get some training, maybe some teaching, but coaching, the way I define it, is telling people what they need to hear that they don't necessarily want to hear. That's what true coaching is. So yeah, there's some heated conversations in the work we do. And I still have three coaches today on top of me that are breathing flame and truth into me and helping me to see clearly that I can bounce things off of for a couple of reasons. One, I like to be in the pursuit of continuous improvement and continuous learning. And for two, I don't want to figure anything out. I want to have a problem, a question, an issue, a transition, and this or that, and I want to go and ask somebody else, my mentors above me, and move quickly.
Who, not how.
Yes, yeah. Bingo. 100%.
Absolutely.
And what I've learned as I got older is it used to be like, well, I know this and I know that as a young kid.
Yeah.
But what's more important to me today is to know what I don't know. To Bingo. Your point, and then realize that, and then go hire the expert to do it done efficiently, as opposed to me like, oh, I can figure that out. I'm not a coder in computers. Hire somebody, let them do it, be done with it.
Correct.
100%.
Yep. Absolutely.
Matt, so touching a little bit on scaling and you know, growing and people wanting to exit, what do you think is the biggest thing? I mean, I'm sure it's going to be hard for you to put your finger on, but what do you think is the biggest thing that's overlooked when companies look at a business that runs without the owner? Because you currently have that, right? So what do you think is the biggest thing that's overlooked when they have this vision in their brain that they're going to do that?
Yep.
What do you think is the biggest thing that comes to them? They get punched in the face and they're like, okay, this is not working at all.
Yep.
Is there one thing that stands out to you?
100%. Yep. Personal development.
And do you mean personal development of the owner or of the team?
So it starts with the owner, okay? Because here's how leadership works. It's a monkey see, monkey do game. So in order for a business to grow, the humans have to grow. We have to develop the business psychology, the emotional intelligence, the leadership, the communication, the rhythms, the tactics, the training, the teaching. Yes, we need all the business stuff that's in the S. We need the structure. We need the systems. We need the toolbox. But we have to develop humans. And until the owner realizes that he needs to get better as a human everywhere, how he solves problems, how he sees problems, how he addresses problems, how he communicates, the culture he's created by default, shifting from default to design. Until the owner accepts the fact that he must get better and look in the mirror, the glass ceiling is bulletproof. And the organization is not going to grow. I don't care how many events you go to. I don't care how many scaling systems, marketing strategies, whatever you put on the business or apply to the people. The owner is the ceiling. The owner is the bottleneck, and he has to embrace that fact. Once we can get the owner to realize that he's got to look inward, then we start the journey of growth. Then we start to cascade that down into and trickle that down into his direct reports, the managers, the leaders, the employees, the culture.
100%. That makes complete sense. It all starts with the one guy. That's an interesting answer. I think that's an answer that's not an answer I would have expected.
Yeah.
Most
people don't.
Yeah.
They don't. It's the what you don't know that you Correct. Don't know is the, that's where the magic at. That's what's hiding.
They're all and here, at let me
just
factors.
Let me just bring it full circle. Right.
Yeah.
We live in an age where there's more information available ever in the history of mankind. ChatGPT, Google, YouTube. There's 9 million gurus and coaches in blue collar. Why are businesses growing at the slowest rate of speed in the history of man? It's nothing to do with the stuff. It's everything to do with what's hiding on the inside.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome.
The stuff helps. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I don't want to value or discredit the stuff, but the stuff, the scaling tools, tactics, strategies are not the answer for real growth. It's just 100%. Not worth that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes complete sense. So, and keep staying on that route of, you know, people and looking internally. So obviously systems in a business are important, but also leadership, right? So once you've done, once you as the owner are moving in the right direction that you need to move, how do you go, how do you like to go about cultivating leadership within the business? Like, is there a strategy that you have, or is there kind of a rule of thumb that you follow? How do you like to go about cultivating that type of leadership that can really, you know, run a business without you?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So everything starts with a simple playbook, right? I don't care if we're going to teach dispatch or customer service or accounting or, you know, whatever it is, project management, service delivery process, leadership. Everything starts with a playbook. And then I embrace this framework. I start with a playbook and then I teach it, whatever the thing is. And then I train it, which means I show them. So teaching, think I'm on the whiteboard. I'm showing them the playbook, the bullet points. We're mapping things out. And then we go do it live together. I train them. Okay. Then I come back around and I test people to see what they know and what they don't know. In other words, what they learned and what they didn't learn. And then I come back around and we're coaching, coaching. So the biggest thing that I start to install first in companies, whether they're big or small, is we start to look at how are we doing onboarding of the employees? How are we doing the playbooks? How are we doing the teaching, the training, the testing and coaching? And you would be surprised or maybe not. Like that's just a big, huge void in organizations, whether they're 500K or 30 million, that whole thing called organizational health and employee development and leadership development, it's just not there because no one really knows how to do it. And it's just not readily available. That's stuff that's, you're not like, can't really find the secret sauce of that on a chat or Google or at a guru event, you know, and that's the hidden magic of what builds organizations. It's the culture, it's the mindset, it's the aggregate, like operating organism, if you will, of all of these humans working together in synchronicity or in actual like full on hell or chaos.
Correct. No, that makes complete sense. So kind of diving a little bit into wrapping it up for you here. If you were to sit across from your younger self right now, who is grinding in the field, you know, taking side jobs, what's advice that you'd give that guy?
Yep. Great question. Put your ego aside and go find someone to teach you, train you, coach you, mentor you, guide you up the mountain. Just like if you look at Mount Everest, it'd be really stupid if you've never climbed Mount Everest in your life and you take your ego on that journey. What do you think is going to happen? You're going to die. Right. You would not get into an airplane without being a certified licensed pilot. OK, I'm a pilot. It would be really stupid to get into an airplane, not having a flight instructor sitting next to me and or not being licensed to fly an airplane. But I did that with my blue collar business. Correct. It's just as deadly. Yeah. Like becoming an entrepreneur. And I got into the airplane of entrepreneurship with no flight training and with no flight instructor sitting shotgun. And that's why I beat my face and my life against the planet for 12 years. Yeah. Get help. The answer, I know that was a roundabout answer. No, but the answer is get help.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that because I sell help, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Don't hire Matt Murray. Don't hire Blue King, if you know what I mean. I don't want it to come out like that. But get somebody to help you. Please, for the love of God, get a mentor and stop like wasting time, energy, and money for you, your family, and your life that you're never gonna get back.
Love it. What's next for you in Blue Collar King? What any projects you're excited about? Things coming down the pipeline, visions that you have, what's next?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we're always developing new tools and creating new things to help businesses scale quicker, faster. That's really all my focus is right now. You know, I'm 49. I turned 50 this August. So, you know, the next season of my life, all I can see in the future for a long time to come is just helping people grow. We have fun too. Like I love our in-person events. Like they're very intimate and they're very interactive.
Yeah, I can tell when you're talking about that.
And, you know, if you follow me on Instagram, you kind of see my lifestyle. If not, the real Blue Collar King, I love the ocean. I love boats. I love airplanes. I love white sandy beaches. I just love
going fast on the water. Love
it. Going fast on the water. Yeah, just enjoying life, you know?
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah. For the people listening, what is the best place to connect with you, dive into trainings that you have? Do you have any, you know, free resources that they can jump into, get a taste of what you're all about? What does that look like? Where's the best place for people to find you?
Yeah, we have some tools you can grab on the website, www.bluecollarking.com. There's a resources tab there. And then the best way to find me, if you want a free copy of my book, so just go to Instagram and look up The Real Blue Collar King. Give a follow and then shoot me a DM. That way it'll actually show up. And then, you know, ask me any questions. I love helping people grow. Ask me questions. If you want a copy of the book, we'll shoot you a copy of my book.
That's awesome. And I did know you had that book. If we would have had a little bit more time today, we'd have jumped into this. So we'll definitely have to have you back, Matt, and we'll dive into some more. This is a great overview of everything. I think people got some good, you know, tactics and things that they can actually take, but we can even get more granular next time around. The last one that I'll leave.
We need to have you on here again.
100%. The last one that I'll ask here is if there's a listener right now who is stuck. Yep. He's got the fire. He's got what you had. What does he need to do right now? What is the first step for him to take? He's listening to this and he's like, God damn it. Right. Yep. I want that. But I'm here still doing side jobs on my own. What is the first thing?
Yeah. The first thing to do is, I would say just grab my book, The Blue Collar King's Blueprint. And I'm not saying that again, cause it's my book, and trust me, you don't make money on a $11 book on Amazon or whatever it is. It's just my nuggets. It's my story. It's a good read. You can get on Audible. I would say start there, give it a quick listen. You can listen to it in between service calls and just hit me up. Let me just give you some guidance and give you some help. And then, wonderful. And then we'll just go from there. But you know, if it's not me, that's cool too. You know, ask in your network, check in your network, like who can help me with this problem? Just ask questions. He with the most questions wins the game. And one last thing, I know we got to wrap up here, but okay. I want to just share this story with people, cause I think it's important. When I first started my journey of getting help, you know, I did show up at the events. I went to the mastermind, I went to the training, and I was scared to ask for help, because I thought I was the only guy in the room that had a broken business and a broken heart and a broken bank account. It turned out everyone sat there quiet in the corner eating popcorn for a year. And then we finally started like asking real questions. And then everyone came out of the woodwork with all their problems. This is what happened next. We all started fixing stuff together. So, but I get it. You know what I mean? And I run Zoom events. I run free masterclasses. And even in our coaching groups with our paid clients, sometimes people are sitting in the corner and they're like, guys, we're safe. Yeah. Like no one's going to get hurt here. Like just everybody's got problems. We're all just trying to figure out life. And you know, these trolls and these people talking smack or whatever with all them, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like let them talk crap on your Facebook or in the room or whatever, but just do you. I mean, that would be my final thing. Just do you. Don't worry about being judged and just ask for help. And the more humble you can become, the faster you're going to grow and you're going to feel better and you're going to have a better life and you're going to have a better business.
I love it, man. Hell of an episode. We will absolutely have to have you back around. We'll let you go today. Guys that are listening, we'll see you on the next one, number 34. And I promise we will bring Matt back again. If you're watching this live on YouTube or you're watching it on LinkedIn, fortunately, Facebook does not allow us to live stream anymore, but we'll put it there. And then we'll, of course, be on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that good stuff as well. So, Matt, thank you very much for joining us. And I will see you soon, brother.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Matt.
Yep. Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.